morning.
Welcome to worship at Plains Presbyterian, both for those who are here in person and those who are worshiping virtually. Just want to bring your attention to a couple of announcements today. 1 week from today, the plan is that we will be worshiping outdoors in our chapel. Who knows, maybe the weather will actually cooperate and that'll happen. And 2 weeks from today is our joint worship with Old Union and Crestview. That is also planned to be outdoors, although Crestview has a pavilion area, weather permitting. We may be outside without cover there as well. There is a sign-up sheet in the entry area for items that you could bring to our meal with Old Union and Crestview. We're being asked to provide signs. So please take an opportunity to take care of that. Any other announcements this morning? I have these glasses now that I can see close up and I can see my computer, but I can't see worth a darn at a distance. So that's why I'm taking them off and putting them back on again. No other announcements this morning. Well then, let's calm our hearts and go into worship as we begin with our call to worship, choral call to worship, Eat This Bread. I invite you to stand as you are able.
Oh,
We are God's people, and yet we often live as people of this world. We are being made new into the image, into the character of Jesus Christ, yet we recognize that we often choose to live after the pattern of this world. But God's grace is in us, revealing to us what is evident to all, that we are sinners. It is by God's grace that we can confess and repent of our sins. And so I call us now to a time of relying on God's grace to honestly confess our sins and receive God's help to live for the Lord. Let us join together in the prayer of confession.
Your word tells us that everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. We cannot hide from you, Lord. You know us and everything about us, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our motivations, our secrets, our doubts, our fears, our sins. Neither ignoring nor denying our wickedness makes it go away. Only repentance freely given to you, confessing and turning away from our sin, brings the forgiveness and restoration that washes us clean. We confess to you what you already know, and ask for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and for grace to turn away from all that is offensive to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our forgiveness, we pray.
Amen. Hear the good news. Jesus Christ in his holiness and grace freely takes away all of our sins. God sent the Messiah, Jesus, the shepherd of our souls and the Lamb of God, to take the punishment of our sins and to end God's wrath against us. By what Jesus did for us through his birth, death, and resurrection, we see that he is the powerful Lion of Judah, the King who is able to save us. By faith, we know that Christ has paid the penalty of our sins and that he has given us his righteousness in the sight of God. And so we can rejoice. Hear and believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. God. And so I encourage you now to share that with others.
Thank you.
Psalm. Maybe the most revered part of Scripture that there is. As I did a little preparation for today, I found it interesting that the title Psalms is derived from a Greek term that means song, but in Hebrew, the word actually translates to hymns or songs of praise. And it's the Book of Psalms is organized into a grouping of five sections of books, which some have thought might be a tie to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible for the Hebrews. This psalm is attributed to David, but truly we can never know for certain who wrote any of the individual psalms. So this psalm is often a source of comfort, and so much so that it's almost a staple at funerals. But I think that these words resonate for each of us on an individual basis as well. I invite you to join along. It's on page 476 in the Pew Bible, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life. Here ends our scripture.
Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds so that we might recognize that we are not the shepherds of our lives, but that you are. Give us your grace to know and live out the knowledge that we are not God, but that you are. Teach us to touch, teach us and touch our lives today so that we might be your faithful flock. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm reading from the book of Revelation today, chapter 7, verses 13 through 17, but it's one part of a larger whole that I think is very important for understanding who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It begins with a scroll in heaven that is sealed by seven seals. It was going to tell what was going to come, and no one could open that scroll. No one was strong enough, righteous enough, new enough to open the scrolls. But then it says, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he will open the scroll. That's what John hears. And he turns and looks and expects to see this lion, this kingly, royal, powerful lion of tradition, of thought, of the one who is going to rule over the entire world. And he turns, and what does he see? He sees a lamb that had been slain. And that lamb was the one who had won the victory. And that lamb was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And somehow those two were together, and that Christ won the victory by dying for us. And that lamb then is able to open the seals. And John is looking on, and then one of the elders asked me, "Those in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" And John answered, "I answered, 'Sir, you know,' implying I don't have a clue." That's not in the scriptures. And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord. Last week I preached on Psalm 23, but I stopped partway through before I got to that darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, as the Revised Standard Version calls it. I think we often want to do just that. Talk about God's presence in our lives and God's provision, God's providing for all of our needs, but then we don't want to talk about the dark times, the scary times, when walls seem to be closing in on us, with danger seeming to lurk around every rock, and when we're traveling through a deep, dark, and frightening valley of not life. But I'm going to get to that part today. But first, an overview of Psalm 23. It's divided up into five parts, as you can see from that bulletin insert that I put in your bulletins today. The first and the last covering God's presence with us. The second and the fourth parts talking about how God provides for us. And the middle part, the balance part, tells us how God protects us when it seems like the whole world is arrayed against us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing that I need, is the first part, acting as an introduction to the whole psalm. The Lord, the God who revealed himself to the shepherd Moses in the burning bush, the one who wants us to know God and to walk with God, is our shepherd. The shepherd stays with the sheep, guiding them, providing for them, protecting them, the one who is present with them. And that's the kind of God we have. The second section tells of our providing God. This God, this shepherd, is the one who brings us into green pastures and beside still waters, places of health and safety. We might see this and think that God is really like a shepherd, but really the more accurate idea is that the shepherd is like God. We learn to protect and nourish and value relationships because that's the kind of God the Lord is. And we, as his people, are made in the image of God to be God's representatives, to act like God acts in the world, to walk in the paths of righteousness. Not of self-righteousness, but the way of justice, mercy, and humbleness that God maps out before us, following the Lord as sheep follow their shepherd. The next psalm, portion of the psalm, is the pivot point in the psalm, the center on which the whole psalm balances and on which it moves from illustration to actuality. It's the part of the psalm that rejoices in the protection the shepherd provides. We all know it's wonderful to follow the shepherd when everything is green pastures and still waters and powerful shepherds guarding and guiding us. But it's not so wonderful when sometimes, whether you're a sheep or a person, you have to go through the deepest, darkest, most death-filled valleys of life. I've been told that in the wilderness of Israel, there are valleys, canyons really, where the sun almost never shines, where there's a twilight caused by the narrow width and the sharp cut of the earth. Those are dangerous places for sheep, because a predator can lurk there and attack the sheep, and the sheep would have nowhere to go except down under their teeth and claws. If I were a sheep, I wouldn't want to go into a valley like that on my own. But I'd go, trembling or not, if my shepherd led me. Psalm 23 says that the sheep don't have any fear of destructive evil, even when they have to walk through the darkest valley, a valley that looms huge with the threat of death, because their shepherd goes with them. Why? What's so great about the shepherd? This poem says that the shepherd has a rod and a staff at hand. Now, why does a rod and a staff comfort the sheep? We tend to think of rods in connection with sayings like, spare the rod and spoil the child, with the rod an instrument of punishment. By the way, people think that quote is in the Bible, but it isn't. The rod that Psalm 23 is talking about is not a means of punishing the sheep, but of trouncing the wolf, lion, or bear attempting to eat the sheep. The rod was a cudgel, a club that the shepherd would use against anything that threatened the sheep. So the rod was a comfort. He's around here, he'll take care of anything that comes my way. The staff mentioned was the walking stick that the shepherd used to guide the sheep and with its curved end to pull the sheep to safety when they were going or had gone someplace dangerous. What comforts the sheep is seeing that the shepherd has the means to protect them from external attacks and from their own foolishness. And it's here, in this darkest valley of life, the balance point of the psalm, that this psalm pivots from experiencing life as a sheep to experiencing life as a human being. A human being who sometimes has to go through the deepest, darkest, most death-filled valleys of life. The sheep of this psalm, who were in need of a good shepherd, become more than just sheep. They become us in need of the good shepherd to guide us safely through all that stands against us. And what the shepherd does for the sheep, our Lord does for us because he loves us. In Revelation chapter 7, we can see who this shepherd is. He is a powerful lion of the tribe of Judah, the king who protects the flock. This king is also the lamb that faced his own deepest valley of death and was killed, but is now alive and the conquering hero who can bring victory to his people, to us. We might not always understand or like what our shepherd does. Remember those sheep dips. But this psalm, and from all of God's word to us, reminds us that we have a shepherd who loves us, even to the point of dying for us. That our shepherd is everything needed to protect us and guide us. That begins when we say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Have you ever said that and tried to live it out. It's interesting to look at what God can do in some of the dark valleys mentioned in Scripture. In Joshua chapter 7, Joshua talks about the valley of Achor, which means the valley of troubles, because some of God's people were willfully disobeying the Lord to gain advantage for themselves. Of course, we've never done that. There were bad memories of that valley, but God isn't limited by bad memories. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 10, he points ahead to the time when that valley of Achor, the valley of troubles, will become a place of blessing, a place for livestock to lie down in peace. How's that going to happen? The Lord will do it, Isaiah says, because in that day God's people will seek the Lord. And then God brings them peace. In Hosea chapter 2, Hosea says that the valley of Achor, again that valley of troubles, will be made into a door of hope. Why? Because God still seeks for a faithful people. And in finding us, God will make us into the people that the Lord seeks. Psalm 84 talks about when we travel through the valley of Baca, of weeping, that it will be transformed into a life-giving place because we trust in the Lord. Trust in God. That's how the deep darkness of our troubles, the troubles we have in our lives, can be turned into safe places, into doors of hope, into transformative times of life, all by trusting the shepherd who will wipe every tear from our eyes. What deep valleys of life have you gone through? Are you going through? We as a world are traveling through a deep, dark valley right now. The ongoing pandemic, droughts, floods, fightings, fears of fightings, and fears on top of fears. There is so much that threatens to separate us, and so little that we recognize that draws us together. It's a hard time, and in hard times our memories tend to fly away. We forget that the Lord is still our shepherd, and all that goes along with it. That's why we need to take all of the reminders we can get and to sharpen our memory. Worship is one of those reminders. Every time we worship with other believers, we're reminded that we are all part of God's flock. Reading from the Bible is another reminder. It's been said that the Bible is God's love letter to his people. And in reading the Bible, we can see God's tremendous and powerful love for us. The joy God has when we return to his love, and God's pain and grief when we turn away from him. In the Bible, we can see God's love in sending Jesus, the Lamb of God, who is the powerful Lion of the tribe of Judah, and Jesus' love by coming to save us. And in Jesus, we can see God the Father. For as Jesus told Philip, the one who has seen me has seen the Father. So reading the Bible can remind us that the Lord is still our shepherd. What other tools do we have to remind us that we are God's sheep? Serving others can remind us that we are a part of God's flock. It's like that old joke, somewhat changed. I don't want to go out to help anyone, but you must, the Spirit says. Why? They're not interested in me. They just want someone to help them. Let somebody else help them. No, you have to go, the Spirit says. You're a Christian. Whenever we do something in Jesus' name for someone else, then they are helped and we are changed. Serving others can remind us that we are a part of Jesus' flock. But for me, the activity that reminds me most that I am a part of Jesus' flock is prayer, and that a specific kind of prayer. I love praying through the scriptures and praising God through them. I encourage you to do the same. How? Take a passage of scripture and pray through it. Psalm 23, for example, gives us wonderful opportunities to pray. You know how it begins. The Lord is my shepherd. Begin with that and tell God that you're glad that God is your shepherd and that you are one of his sheep. Thank God that the Lord knows you and watches over you and guides you just like a good shepherd would do, only better. Just praying all the ins and outs of that phrase, making it personal, is something that molds your life into the model of a sheep, only better. Then tell God what I shall not be in want, I shall lack nothing that I need, means to you, and how you're thankful that every good gift you have comes from God. You can expand that in so many ways. Take this psalm, or any scripture, I really mean that, and tell God what you are learning from it, what you are thankful for it, that you're bewildered about in it, what you ask God for the strength to avoid in it. On the back of the insert in your bulletins where I printed Psalm 23, I've put also a number of scriptures that contrast what we often think with what God says. Those are some good scriptures to pray through. Stick that paper in your Bible and use those verses as guides to your prayers. As you do that, your relationship with God will move from an intellectual exercise to a living faith that will spill out into the rest of your life. It might just be a little movement, but we're not going to be perfect in this life, but every little twitch away from rock-solid decrepitude is something good. Once we start, God will continue to pull us closer to the shepherd of our souls. I challenge you to pray through Psalm 23 this week. Not just once, but keep on doing it until you've prayed it out. Mind all of its life and health and have those truths supplied to your life. Don't expect to be finished in a week. I don't expect that you'll ever be finished, that we will ever be finished if we really work at it. But the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Sometimes the first step is the hardest, and that makes it the most significant. Step by step, verse by verse, you'll watch the garden of your life grow in the Lord. Again, we haven't finished with Psalm 23. We've looked at God's presence with us, how God provides for us, and God's protection of us. We've seen again how we're compared to sheep, and then in the balance point of protection, in this psalm, we've seen how the illustration of sheep moves on to real human lives today and tomorrow. The next steps of this psalm tell us again of God's provision for us and God's presence with us. What can we learn from that? Well, see you next week. In your bulletin, you'll find the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, and may we read it together to affirm our faith before the Lord and for the encouragement of us and others. Please rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over us, that you care for us, that you call us to follow you. We know that you call us to go out into the world and tell others about your good news. And so we pray for the strength to do that. But we also pray that you will use these gifts that we've given today as an opportunity for others to see you and give their lives to you. Use us as your church for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 104, and in the red book. Kathy, it says in the bulletin, the second tune, so is that what we should go for?
Sure.
Okay. On 104, The Lord's My Shepherd, it's the second tune, and that's what we'll sing.
The Lord, my shepherd,
Please be seated. Now we have an opportunity to share where we have seen God at work in our lives this past week, where we've seen that God the Shepherd has been with us in hard times and led us in the good times as well. Yes, Jeannie. Jeannie tells us of how her ex-husband is his heart, which they thought he might need a heart transplant after catheterization, is doing fine. That's good news. Yes, Sue.
I have a miracle story.
Yes. Right.
Right after that happened, the adoption agency called them, and there was a woman that was having a child and felt she could not take care of it. He was born on the 3rd of this month, and they got to watch him being delivered. My granddaughter cut the cord, and in a day and a half, they brought him home. And I got to see him yesterday. His name is Eli David.
Eli David.
Yep.
Wow.
Miracle.
What's your son's name?
My grandson's
grandson.
Name is Logan.
Logan.
And his wife is
and Nikki. Logan and Nikki were told at the last minute that they couldn't adopt the child that they had been planning on. But they had gotten a call about a new baby that they could adopt. The mother wasn't able to care for the child. And he was born on August 3rd, Eli David. That's good news. Yes.
This past week, I went to an event down at the Heinz History Center, sponsored by my health insurance. When I go to these places, I never expect to see anybody I know. There's about 1,000 people here. But I was sitting at a table with these people, and after talking, we realized we had been campground neighbors up by Grove City 20 years ago. So we thought after having 1,000 people there, how did we end up at the same table?
So Nina tells that she was up in the Heinz Health Center, and she met 1,000 people there, and she met some people who they used to go, were campground neighbors 20 years ago. And so it's a small world. Yes, Tim.
I saw this week, for those with us on men's night, we had a great time, but I think there was a spirit at work there, a sharing of almost like a brotherhood type of a thing, and I felt that God was working through the Graves family. Thank you for hosting, and it was wonderful with other people that share the love of the Lord, like we do. And we have a few neighbors there who were also pleasant to be with that night. So I think that was our little church. God was working through the Graves family that night to host that.
Yeah. Dan, Tim was saying about the men's night out that the men who came had a good fellowship of people who are believing in Christ. And Dan brought, invited two neighbors, Rick and Brian, and they came too, which is a great way of inviting and sharing your faith So I was really pleased to see that. I had good conversations with them as well. Thank you, Tim. Yes, Amy.
We went to a wedding yesterday, and we knew the groom since he was born, and he's, I don't know, around 30 now. And it was a beautiful wedding, and I just wanted to ask for prayers for Tim and Lauren for a long and happy marriage, for happy years together.
Okay. Amy went to a wedding. I assume Tim did too. Okay. And Susie went to a wedding, and the groom they've known since he was born. And so she asks us to pray for Tim and Lauren that they would have a long and blessed wedding, marriage. Yes, Marianne. Marianne tells us about Gracie, who's almost 98, and her sister died, and that's hard for her.
They live together.
They live together. So pray for Gracie. We've also been asked to pray for a good friend, Tom, of Bonnie and Jay Carmichael, because Tom lost his wife, Doris, on Thursday after over 40 years of marriage, and that's rather frightening because I've been married for 43 years. Don't die. but it's a grief. Many of you know when a spouse dies, and so we can pray for Tom, who's lost his wife, Doris. Yes, Jeannie?
Yes, if we could pray for Israel. They're getting attacked pretty bad. And Jay Vernon McGee said a long time ago that when that gets going, that's when the end of the world starts. So we can pray for that. And then my cousin Rachel, we pray for him. He doesn't want anything to do with God or prayers. And my friend Tom's mother had a stroke. We can pray that she would come out of that and be able to talk and everything.
Okay. Jeannie asks us to pray for Israel that is experiencing attacks, to pray for friend Tom's mother who's had a stroke, and to pray for Bob? What? Who doesn't want anything to do with the Lord? Tom.
No, wait, Rick. I'm sorry.
Rick
doesn't want anything to do with God and Tom's mother.
Yeah, and to pray for Rick, who doesn't want anything to do with God. Yes, Sue.
You remember.
Yeah.
It's a joy listening to your dear little granddaughter over here. It reviews and brings back fond memories of Tucklin and little people in the church, and they grow up too quickly. Isn't that true?
Thank you, Sue. Is mentioning that my granddaughter Berkeley is here today, and how it's nice to hear her. I agree. So. And Julie, did you have your hand raised? Nope, okay. Yes, Marianne.
I haven't had time to watch the news. I had no idea Israel was being attacked, and my niece Laura lives in Jerusalem. So please keep her safe.
Marianne's niece Laura lives in Jerusalem. Now, it says, Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. And that's just a pretty good summary of human history. Christ can return at any moment, at any time, and the message is we're all called to be prepared to meet him, to trust in him. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. I'll begin, and I encourage you to lift up some of the prayers that the Lord has laid on your heart, and silently or out loud so that we can all share in them, and then together we'll close with the Lord's Prayer. Lord God, you are our shepherd. We're not. We ask that we might have a heart to follow you. Lord, we know that when we follow you, we will be excited about you. And when we're excited about you, we will be telling others about you, and they could learn about you and see your love and be excited about you as well. I thank you for the opportunities we as a church have for sharing our faith. And I ask that you would give us more opportunities, but more than that, you would give us hearts to take the opportunities that we have and to follow you. Because only as we do that will we grow stronger and better able to be your witnesses in the world. Lord, we pray for our church. We pray for our nation. We pray for our families and our friends, and we pray for our enemies, that they may see the love of Christ through us. Help us, Lord, to be examples of grace. Lord, use us as your people. And use us now as we pray to you, not because we understand how prayer works, but because you tell us to pray. Hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts. Lord, you know all of these prayer requests that we've mentioned. We don't have to say them again, but we need to trust you. So whatever happens, help us to know that you are our good shepherd. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of his sheep, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn number 106. I knew the tune of the first tune, so that's what we're going to sing. I hope you know it as well, but you'll learn it. It's six verses, which might seem like a lot, but it's only two lines of them. I think we can do it all. Please rise as we sing together.
My shepherd is whose good.
Sometimes we're afraid to let God be our shepherd. And we're afraid to step out and let God guide us. I read a book one time that really, I remember one story from it. It said, the character said, my dad used to tell me that if I'm ever afraid to walk through a door or to start something and do something, that I should just lean forward. Said, you lean enough and you're going to put your foot out, and you keep on leaning and you'll start walking. And I think that's true for following the shepherd. We're scared. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. What if they ask me a question I don't know? Well, then lean forward. And if you lean forward enough, out of self-preservation, you're going to put your foot forward and then keep on leaning. So this week, keep on leaning. And the God who goes with you will walk with you and catch you from falling. And if you do fall, he'll use that to build you up even stronger. May the God of peace, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, go with you and strengthen you to serve him as you go through this world together with your good shepherd. Amen. Thank you.
I came back. I was here a few weeks ago. I came too late.
Right.
So I wanted
and,
to make sure.
And you had been talked about. Oh, we haven't seen him. I said he was going to wait a couple weeks and come back.
Yeah. So this is nice. I'm not sure yet where I'm going to land.
Right.
This was nice.
I'm glad you came today.
Yeah.
Your God is your shepherd. He will guide you to the Lord.
Hey. Amen. Amen. So
David?
Jeremy. Yeah.
Sorry, Jeremy.
No problem.
Okay.
Good to see you, and I'm sure I'll be back around sometime, no matter what.
Take care.
You too. Blessings.
That was a very nice
good one. If anybody wants a copy of last week and this week's sermon, we got them back here. In chocolate. Somebody's...
We
do.
That's last week.
Okay.
Two things, you know, in the sheep were in the sheep coat and the shepherd were in the...
110 is an awesome.
The other thing was the famous painting of Jesus with the lamb on his shoulder.
That was a small lamb.
It was a double.
Yeah, they had bigger lambs the shepherds would carry too.
It was a double exposure. The shepherds, the lamb was taken from the
side. Ronnie, you can come to one straight up.
They had different slides and few lambs up from somewhere. Very good.
Thank you.
See you around.
Yes. Yep. Take care.
Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. Do not tell me your name, Bob.
Okay. Okay. Good. Wait a minute. You didn't write it on the back of the pie.
No, but see up here, we're studying the book of Revelation in Sunday school. But see what it says? Revelations?
Uh-huh.
I got it wrong, because it's only... There was a Jeopardy questions about the Bible.
Okay.
Or statements. The last book of the Bible, and the person said, what is the book of Revelations? And they said, yes! Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the book of Revelations. It's the book of Revelations. So she got it wrong.
That's
she will never forget that.
That's yep. Right.
But that's what we hear all the time.
I know.
Revelations.
Yeah, it's the revelation from Jesus Christ.
So. Now, does your daughter live near you? Was she one of the silly people?
Yeah.
Oh, I already got
they
to go over.
They disappeared, I guess.
I already got to go over and see her one day.
Yeah. Her name is Berkeley because my daughter and son-in-law are both sergeants in the Marines. And he said, I knew you as Berkeley way before I ever knew that your first name was Elizabeth. And he said, and I got rather fond of the name Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
So he decided to name their first daughter Berkeley. And they said, nobody else will ever have that name.
Absolutely not.
The day after they made that decision, they were in a store together. And Berkeley, and I saw a little girl running by.
You were kidding.
No, and sure, she's spelled differently, but she said, did we just hear that? You know,
well, it happens all the time. You can go out and get a car that you think is
have
unique,
right?
And the next thing you know, you see 10 of them go by.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. How did they end up in this area?
Well, my daughter and son both went to Grove City College.
Okay.
My son stayed in the area.
Okay.
And so he was here. Pittsburgh, Bellevue, other areas, and his wife teaches at Seneca Valley, and so they moved up here, and so when my daughter and son come, we're out of the Marines, I said, where should we live, and he didn't care, so wherever you want to, and she said, well, let's live near my brother. So they're in the same housing development, 150 yards from each other, and we're 4.5 miles from that.
Oh, okay.
So that's really nice. We do too much babysitting.
That's
what keeps you
young. That's
the downside of being that person.
What does she teach
herself? She's like sixth grade and a parenting specialist.
And is she going to go to the new school?
She's going to the new school.
We just drove past it the first time.
Yeah. And they haven't moved. And they said, we'll move all your stuff. And they haven't moved it yet. And she's saying,
but Joe's going to Mary was telling me she'll be going on the 15th or something like that to try to get her together. So that's not that far.
She's saying, yeah, I haven't moved my stuff yet. Yeah, we'll get to it.
We'll have a big talk with you. And then there'll be a good meeting in the hall to find out who has what.
Well, it makes sense to move out this way because that drive in the winter is not nice. I did it for 2 years from the North Hills area. And it's like, if I got to the turnpike, I knew I was safe because Butler County allowed both lanes.
Uh-huh.
Allegheny County, one if you were lucky.
Denny. Just working on names.
Oh. Well, Michael's not too hard to remember. That's my brother, Michael.
But it really helps for me to see people outside of the church, because then if you want to ever have me forget something, tell it to me after church. Or before church. Yeah, it just doesn't work.
Yes, I know.
And he never came back. But you know,